This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Tommaso Bonvasuto.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. It's spring.
Yes, it is.
And it feels like summer already, and I'm into that. You know, I'm not absolutely fond of winter. I make it through it every year, but I much prefer spring, summer, and fall.
Yeah, well, I thought I was in beach traffic on the way over today.
Yeah, so. It did look like that, didn't it? So let's just tell everyone, Tomas, again, we are on an open show.
Yes, sir.
An open show again where our guests are our listeners are our guests, and they get to direct the conversation, and they should call in and ask their questions now because I think we're going in a three-bagger of guests in the next few weeks,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So now's the time to ask your question.
Now's the time to ask your question. And so tell us, who are the guests? We have one coming up next week that might be a very interesting interview because we may not 100% agree with a lot of the stuff she's promoting, but we'll agree with some of it.
Yeah, I know you and Chris are going to be interviewing her, and I started reading the book, and I was like, wow, I wonder how this is going to go. And so, but Rachel Sherman, and she's her latest book that she's written is called, and I'm trying to remember the name.
Uneasy Street.
Uneasy Street, but it's about affluence and the anxiety of being wealthy.
And it is true, and a lot of people might be thinking, oh, you know, I wouldn't be anxious if I had a lot of money, but you'd be amazed that we deal with a lot of people with a lot of money, and there's a lot of built-up anxiety about some of the, you know, the issues they consistently deal with, the complexity that comes into their situation, the number of people after them that want something, et cetera, et cetera. There is an anxiety that comes from this, so it'll be an interesting conversation, but she also has a lot of unique, I would label them kind of progressive ideas, you know, that word progressive, that she would use to kind of, you know, make sure that these people weren't affluent so they wouldn't be uneasy anymore.
Yeah, help them with that. You also have 199A discussion coming
there you
the
go.
Week
now,
after
that's
that.
Going to be a that's going to be an interesting topic, you know. Yep. It's for our business owners. So our small business owners are going to want to hear that discussion. But tonight we're on an open show, Tomas, and so our listeners are our guests, 410-922-6680. And tonight's the night to call in because it's going to be a couple weeks until you're going to get a chance to call in again. Or actually more like 3 or 4 weeks until you get a chance to call in again. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and direct the conversation in the way of the topic that you are most interested in. And that's 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Come in. Call in and ask your question. You know, Tom, I wanted to address this topic that I was talking to Sean about this morning, and it was in the state of Maryland, actually. This is interesting. It was actually in the state of Maryland, and it was about a family whose father had passed away, and they got an annuity. And, you know, annuities are tax-deferred interest. So even when somebody dies, you still have to pay taxes on that interest that's been deferred all the time. And so Dad buys this annuity, and he defers a whole bunch of income taxes. And it's millions of dollars in deferred income. It's $1 million or more in deferred income. And when the people, the heirs, came to talk to the broker who had sold Dad the annuity, he said to them, the only option you have, you got to take a lump sum, you got to pay taxes on it. It's just the way it is. Well, that wasn't true. And the people, when they figured out, after they had done it, that it wasn't true, but there was no way to put the money back in, because once you take and inherit it out, it's out.
It's out.
There's no solution. It's not like, you know, you take money out of an IRA, you got 60 days to put it back in.
Right.
You take money out of an inherited account, it's out, and it's taxable, even if a day later you figure out, hey, I shouldn't have done that. I didn't want to do that.
Right.
You know, it's out, and it's taxable unless you can get the broker to agree that there was a mistake made by them and not by you, and so forth. So the point of the story was that when the people realized that they had made a mistake and taken it in a lump sum, and they could have deferred the taxes over a much longer period of time, They sued the broker and the brokerage firm because they believed that they were given bad advice.
Right.
Now, you watch television all the time. You see these brokerage firms come on there and talk about, you know, the financial counselors, the financial advisors, the super intelligent financial advisors. We're going to make you sit in bathtubs watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico. And, you know, and they got all these commercials talking about financial advice.
Right.
And they want to give the impression of financial advice. And if you go talk to them, I'm a financial advisor. I've been in this industry for umpteen years. I've got credentials. I've got this. I got that. But then when you sue them and say you gave me bad advice, they turn around to the courts and they say, well, we don't give advice. And that's what this case is all about. It's fascinating. They say, we don't give tax advice. We even told them, and here's a record that said we told them we don't give tax advice.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of advisor are you if you can't give tax advice?
Right.
You know, to me, you're not a financial advisor unless you can give tax, estate, insurance, retirement planning, investment, elder care advice. You should be able to go the gamut of advice like we demonstrate on the show. That's what a professional advisor should do.
Yep.
Our firm would not be able to defend ourselves in court and say, we don't give advice.
Right.
But that's what people want.
Yeah.
They want advice.
Yep. And they had other options, and he's telling them that's the only option they had.
And it's even right there on the form that he's given them, saying that there were other options. But you know, it's just amazing.
Now, he had economic bias to him, that,
you know,
right?
But these guys do commercials. They advertise them. They promote themselves. They give the impression. Brokers and insurance agents. If you have a broker or an insurance agent that says they're your financial advisor, understand this. All they do is sell you an investment product. They might give you a little bit of analysis on some retirement projections, but they don't give advice. And when you go to say, you gave me bad advice, they're going to go to court and say, we don't give advice.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm
going to give you advice to go to traffic.
So I hope that our callers will hold on with us. We got to take this pause with traffic. We're going to be right back with our open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to get online.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. This is for business owners and presidents of companies listening today. If you have a 401k in your company, then let me warn you that lawyers are hunting for you with good reason. 401k plans with less than 1,000 employees have been built around revenue sharing, or in my words, commissions. The Department of Labor has opened a door for lawyers to sue you on behalf of employees unhappy with excessive fees in the plan. They are correct, but the funny thing is, the business owner has normally the majority of the money in the plan. You need a great plan for you and your employees, for everyone's retirement is dependent on it. We do a 401k review of your plan to help determine how to develop the best possible commission-free plan and keep the plan current. Call 410-823-SAVE, that's 410-823-SAVE, to schedule your 401k review. Everyone's retirement is dependent on it, so call 410-823-SAVE.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth, and the lines are jammed, so we're going to go right to them so we can get everybody in. Jeff in Baltimore City, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff. Annuities.
Okay, the question is, you have an annuity. It's an IRA.
Okay.
Annuity, and the beneficiary is the estate of the individual. The individual died, and we want to know what options there are as far as deferring distribution.
Who's the beneficiary of the will of the estate? Who's the primary beneficiary of the estate? Is it children? Is
an
it...
individual.
It's
no,
just an
it's
individual.
Parent. It's the parent, and the parent is in her 90s.
Then the only option is, and the person that died is a, how old was the person that died or might die?
She did die in her early 60s.
Early 60s, so she was not in required minimum distribution state. Okay, so that's part one.
There was distributions from the annuity, but I don't think it's a required minimum because she was too young to have the requirement.
That's correct. So that's the point. She was under age 70 and a half, so that's point one. Point two is the estate was the sole beneficiary, and the beneficiary was a non-spouse, which was a parent, non-spouse. Therefore, the only option is 5 years from the date of death, the last dollar has to be withdrawn from that account. You have to know all that information to make that determination.
And it could be taken at the end of 5 years?
Yes, sir. You can wait until the end of the fifth year. Now, here's the way the fifth year works, though, okay? So let's say mom, the 60-some-year-old, died in November 2017. 17 is year one, 18 is year two, 19 is year three, 20 is year four. December 31st, 21 is the day that money has to come out.
Does it make any difference if it wasn't left by the estate directly to the parent? It was left to a trust for the benefit of the parent?
As a beneficiary designation in the annuity IRA itself?
No, in the estate. The estate was...
No. The fact is, Jeff, what the beneficiary designation said with the IRA. That's the important point, not what happens now that it goes to the estate. So it's always, 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 if you have an IRA or a Roth or a retirement account, you always want to have a named individual, or you want to designate a trust in the beneficiary designation form to the trust that's created under the will of the individual. But if it just says the estate, even though it goes to the same trust, boom, five-year rule. End of the story. All right?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Go
ahead, quick. I got to get these other callers.
A trust, if it's left to a trust and the trust has multiple beneficiaries.
That gets much too complicated. You got to look at it whether it's an accumulation trust or a conduit trust. And once you determine whether it's an accumulation or conduit trust, then you have to determine who's the oldest beneficiary if it's an accumulation trust. Too complicated for me to answer in just 20 seconds. So
okay,
if I get time later, I'll do that for you, okay? All right.
Yes, I'll listen.
Thank you. I'm going to Bob in Westminster. Bob, how can we help you?
Yeah, great, great. I have two questions regarding spousal benefits, Lou. I have a coworker who just turned 62. She's been divorced for 10 years. Her ex-husband still works, and he's only 65.
When she was married, was she married to him for more than 10 years?
Yes.
Okay, that's what you were trying to tell me.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're asking, can she collect on Social Security against
when
his account?
Does he,
it doesn't matter when he. It doesn't matter when he claims. It matters when she turns 62. She can go in and claim against his account.
Okay, I thought they changed the law about something maybe a little different about 2 years ago in April. But that's one good answer. And the other half of that part is that she still works. I guess the fact that when she still works, it's a one for two to take $1 for every $2.
Yeah, if she makes anything more than, let's call it $20,000, you'd strongly discourage her to. It's $1 for every two over like $16,800 or something in that ballpark.
Okay, that's great. Now, for me personally, I'm 68. My wife is 67. She's collected spousal benefits will always be more than what her own benefit will be. And I've deferred, of course, under that law, the change of the law, not to collect until I'm 70 and a half. So does it make sense for me to claim spousal benefits against her or not?
Well, is she claiming against you right now?
Yes.
Well, obviously you can't claim against her because she's claiming against you.
Okay.
And you're going to wait until you're 70, flip to age at age 70, and then you're going to collect your maximum benefit.
Roger that.
Yeah, okay, so you can't. I hear what you're saying. It would be great if we could do that, but not an option, buddy. All right?
One way. All right. Thanks very much.
Take care.
You're doing a great job on the show. All right,
thank you.
Thanks.
We're going to Ed in Towson, Social Security. How can we help you, Ed?
Hey, Drew, Tom, how you doing?
Great.
Tom, you got included in that one. I tell you,
man. Nice guy.
Yeah, man. I take notes, you know. Hey, I want to take Social Security when I'm 62 for a number of good reasons.
Okay.
I need the money, and my health isn't great, and I want to take it while I'm still alive.
Well, wait a minute, though. If your health isn't great, why wouldn't you go for disability?
No, it's not that bad.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you know, you get more money if you can get the disability.
No, I can't get disability. Don't go there.
You got to get yourself a good lawyer, but
you're
go
right.
ahead.
Listen, my wife's already getting Social Security, so when I go to file, I'll be 62 in September. What do I say to them to piggyback on my wife's Social Security until I'm 65?
You can't.
Uh-huh. I can't.
No, you're number one. Were born after January 2nd, 1954. Number
right.
one.
Right.
And number two, even if you weren't,
yeah.
anytime you go in to claim before full retirement age, you get into what's called deemed, and they deem you to take the higher of the two benefits regardless what benefit it might be to you to take the lower of the two benefits.
Right.
So
I'll just go in and file.
You just go in and file. You just got to take your own benefit.
Right. Okay, great.
All right,
sounds
Ed.
Good.
Take care.
I thought I could take advantage of something.
Yeah, it would be great if you could, but no, there's nothing there, my friend.
All right, thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Oh, sure. Bye-bye.
We'll go to Marianne in Parkville. Marianne, how can we help you?
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Quick question. My mother died last year. She lived in New Jersey. She left her will to her 7 children.
Okay.
6 of which are living, but the question is, I live in Maryland, so do I have to be concerned about the estate tax?
No. The estate tax is on the individual in the state they live in, but New Jersey has a worse estate tax than Maryland, but they just eliminated that, and I think that was effective 2017. Is that what he, was it 17 or 18 that he made? When did she die again?
May 17. Of 2017.
May of 17. Yeah, New Jersey had an estate tax, but Christie passed the law to discontinue the estate tax. But Tom's looking it up right now to tell me, was it in 17 that he eliminated
it? Effective January 1st, 2018.
January 1st, 2018.
The repeal.
Mm-hmm. The repeal of the estate tax. So
how big was the estate?
How big was the estate? That's a good question.
Total? We think about $400,000.
Oh, well, she's way under.
The money
there's no issue. And she left it all to children. They're exempt individuals in New Jersey, so you're good.
Yeah, and actually it's a repeal as of January 1st of 18. Prior to that, for January 1st of 17, it went from 675 to 2 million, but you were even below the 675, so you should be fine.
You're good, Marianne.
Do we still have federal income tax to pay on it?
No, inheritances are not taxable unless mom left an IRA behind to you. Then you would, or an annuity with deferred interest. Those are some of the unique examples where you would owe income taxes on it, but normally inheritances are tax-free, income tax-free. All right?
And we know there's an annuity because we got paperwork to...
Yeah, well, any tax-deferred money in that annuity, you guys are going to have to pay income taxes on, like that case I was talking about earlier today.
Maybe spread it out.
Yeah, you could spread it out, though. All right? I got to run. Good question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. I'm going to traffic, though, right now. And we're back on an open show. And if you want to call in and ask a question... 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And as Tom and I were talking earlier, now's the time to call in and ask questions. We do have one caller online, but there are 3 lines open now because we're going to be on a guest. We're going to actually have guests for the next 2 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about affluence, uneasiness of people who are affluent, and we're talking about a fascinating topic, Section 199A for small business owners. And that's going to be for everybody. If you have rental real estate or if you have a little business on the side or if you're a big business owner and you have an S-Corp or a sole proprietorship or a partnership, you want to be listening, or an LLC, you want to be listening because this is going to be a very important topic. So anyway, we're on an open show. If you want to call and ask a question, 410-922-6680. Now is the time to call in. We have lines open. Well, I go to Donna in Forest Hill. Donna, how can we help you?
I have a question regarding Social Security.
Yeah.
I am currently still working, but my husband's kind of semi-retired.
Okay.
And I was just wondering, he turned 65 this year, and he hasn't started collecting his Social Security yet. But I'm just wondering, can he collect off of mine and not his, because mine would be more? And I'm not retired yet, though.
Okay. So how old are you?
I am 59.
You're 69?
No, 59.
59.
Oh, 59. I aged you real quick there, Donna. 59. But your Social
Security.
But your Social Security is higher than his Social Security, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
How much
Tom.
Higher? I mean, like significantly higher?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, I don't know because she's not going to be eligible for Social Security for 3 years. And at that time, and she's the one to get the higher earnings, so we're going to want to maximize her Social Security. By the time we let your Social Security rise, he's already over 70 years of age, so his will be maxed out too. Yeah, I think the only thing you're going to do, at least this is my thinking right this minute in this snapshot of this question, is you're going to just have to wait as long as you can to collect his Social Security. And then you would wait for as long as you can to collect your Social Security. But since his is the lower, I probably wouldn't wait much longer than when he turned 66. I'd start collecting
his.
Well,
he was born in 1953, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He's eligible, but there's nothing to collect on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
He wasn't, he didn't have a spouse that, you two are, this is the only marriage the two of you have had?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was self-employed for the longest time.
Yeah. Now, I think all you're going to do is you're going to take his Social Security probably within the next year when he turns 66, and you're just going to wait as long as you can on your Social Security and hopefully to age 70 if you can. All right?
Yes, I'm going to continue to work. Okay.
Well, I know. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Nobody ever wants to continue to work, but
no,
all right,
for us.
Yeah, right. I like working. I enjoy it. Tony in Westminster. I'll go with. I don't know if that was that a warning symbol that something's going wrong. People might
warning,
be out
warning,
there.
Warning, Will Robinson.
You know, the emergency broadcast system, you know.
Yeah.
Craig in Reisterstown, how can we help you?
I'm 60. I just turned 67, and I started collecting Social Security in January, and they looked back, and I got a big fat check. But now I think I'm going to work another 2 or 3 years. Can I suspend and pay back, or what kind of convoluted? I'd like that guaranteed 8% they're telling me about.
If I'm not mistaken, you can suspend your Social Security. In other words, you can go back in and say, I don't want to take Social Security anymore. I want to suspend. And they'll suspend you. Now, the only thing you can't do is you can't allow your spouse to collect off of you while you're suspended.
Yeah, that's not an issue.
And you can't go back and take a lump sum if a year from now you find if you find out that you're terminally ill or something, you can't go back and say, hey, give me all the money going back a year or so. So as long
I'm in great health and got a good job that.
I shouldn't
be collecting. I got plenty.
Yeah, I agree. You should have waited until you were 70. That's what we would have been telling you. But
had I known what I know now, I would have waited.
Yeah. So now just go back in and ask them to suspend. And I believe the law still allows you to suspend, and your money will now your Social Security check will still be discounted for the amount you've already gotten. But
okay.
But it'll be nominal because it's only 3 months or so, right?
Right.
And then it'll just continue to grow 8% until you turn 70. All right.
So one quick follow up. So if I pay what I've got in the lump sum plus 3 months, does it reconstitute to the full 8% over the
Yeah, but
rest
you
of
know,
term?
You know, unless you got a lot of liquidity that you can do that with, I don't know that you're talking about a lot of money. You know, you're only talking, I think it's like 0.9% per month for the 3 months you got. So you infected your Social Security for maybe 3%.
Okay, so just suspend it, and then when I retire, refile.
Yeah, that's exactly what you would do, right?
I appreciate your help. Thank you.
All right, take care, Craig. We're going to John in Baltimore City.
Good morning, gentlemen, or good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Just got off your shift.
All right. I'm a firefighter with almost 25 years in the city, and I'm probably going to be doing another 15, which will pretty much max me out at my salary for my pension.
Okay.
I also have the DROP program.
Mm-hmm.
Familiar with those?
Yep.
And the deferred compensation account. And I'm also working a part-time job where I'm paying into Social Security, trying to earn enough credits to get Social Security as I get over, even though it will be a reduced benefit because of my pension.
Right.
My question is, can a spouse access security benefits if she's never worked and been a stay-home mom? If I qualify for the Social Security, even at the reduced benefits, would she be able to get a spousal benefit off of that?
Yes, you definitely will be able to get a spousal benefit off of that. And so let's say you fully retire and you start collecting Social Security at 66 and you accumulated enough that even after the windfall elimination provision, you're going to get $1,000 a month. She would get $500 a month against you.
Okay.
Now, that's assuming she also was 66 years of age when she went in and collected. So you'd both have, for that scenario to work, you'd both have to be 66 when she goes in and collects and you went in and collected.
Okay.
All right? Yeah, that's an easy one.
We're close. 2 years apart, so I would delay it, I guess.
You know, and that drop program is a really good program, you know, so take full advantage of it there, my friend.
I'm going to, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right, John.
You're welcome.
And we're going to go to Dave in Northwest Baltimore. Dave, how can we help you?
How are you today?
We're doing great.
Great.
And you?
Hey.
I have a question to ask you. If I just turned 65 and I've been on the Social Security Disability for over 10 years now.
Okay.
But I just turned 65. Does the benefit amount change?
No. So what's going to happen, Dave, is right now you're on SSDI, which means that if you went to work, you know, they would only allow you to make $6,000 or $7,000 to $8,000 and all that
right.
kind of stuff. But the minute you turn 66, your benefit immediately, without you even knowing, nothing happens, no bells, no whistles, no extra money. It just changes to a retirement benefit instead of SSDI. And the minute you turn 66, you can then start collecting, so you can go out and work and make $1 million, and there's no impact to your Social Security from that point forward.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
So you have to be 66 then?
You would have to be 66 because your full retirement age is 66. So for you, it's 66. That's correct.
Now, the amount of my income won't change.
Your Social Security benefit will not change at all when you turn 66, but the way they classify it will.
Yep. Right. It goes to retirement instead of, like, disability.
That's correct. And that means you can go make as much money as you want without any impact.
I got you. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Dave. Good question. Very good question. We got to go to traffic, but we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Open lines, totally free lines right now if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Many of you listened to our show for years and thought about coming to meet with us. With every financial physical I do, I wish you would not wait any longer. The mistakes I consistently see are frustrating. I make this offer. Just do a financial physical, and we'll do the complete analysis in 2 meetings, and you get to go home with the full plan to determine if the physical was worth the cost. If not, absolutely no charge. We do not sell products. We are comprehensive advisors. If your personal finances are in good shape and we add no value, then the financial physical is free. Do not wait. Get a second opinion and just do a financial physical. I am confident you are going to experience something unique and change your tax plan, your retirement plan, your investments, and much more. Call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE to schedule your physical or go online to DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
Chris, I haven't said a thing about your songs tonight because they're so incredibly simple tonight. You know, like you're setting me up. You're just setting me up. And I'm not going to fall for it, you know?
And the callers.
So, and the callers are coming in anyway. Oh, there's another
emergency broadcasting system.
I remember as a kid used to being scared to death of that thing, like, you know?
Yeah. It not only did it get under the desk.
Yeah, you know, and pull stuff. Those blinds down and everything. Bernie in Mount Vernon, how can we help you?
How you doing?
Doing great.
I have a defined pension program because I work for the city. And I realize I'm not going to be collecting Social Security, but will I be able to get back the money that I paid in the Social Security at all?
Well, wait a minute. You said you're with the state?
City.
With the city, and your city pension has already got the Social Security built into it, so you haven't been paying into Social Security.
But when did you pay in?
Like 20, 30 years ago, I paid in. I get forms every year from Social Security saying I'm eligible.
Oh, okay.
But the way it works supposedly is like every 2/3 of my salary goes against it, so it's been calculated that I won't get any Social Security. But I don't know about the Social Security that I actually paid in.
And Social Security is a little confusing because people sometimes think they've paid in and that they've got an account, and you don't have an account.
So you had to have 40 quarters in. Do you have 40 quarters?
I had a job before I was a police officer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I would be surprised if you wouldn't get something from Social Security, even if it's just $20 a month.
Based on that record.
Based on your 40 quarters. Now, your wife, she would not probably get anything if you passed away. But if you have 40 quarters, I would guess that you're going to get something.
Well, according to my calculations, and I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I won't.
Hmm. All right. Well, then I'm going to have to take your calculation because I don't have any of the numbers here in front of me.
Yeah, we'd have to see the statements.
What we would do is we'd run it through our system. We have a very sophisticated Social Security maximizer analysis, and we'd run all the facts and figures of your city pension in to the maximizer and see what it comes back with. But the way the calculations work on Social Security is that the WEP program doesn't deny you Social Security. What it does is it recalculates how the Social Security benefit is calculated.
Correct.
And so it doesn't mean that it eliminates it, except for a spouse or something like that who gets a survivor's pension off of your thing. But if you have the money paid in, I would be surprised that you're not going to get anything. But that's just me.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you.
All right. I'd have to... We could go to Mr. Social Security himself.
There you go.
And ask him what he thinks. You want to call in? We still have a couple. We have one caller online. We do have lines open. We have a little more time. So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. Charles in Baltimore City, how can we help you?
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. Yeah. My question is that I've been with the police department now for 46 years. I have I started to collect Social Security. I'm doing that at this present time.
Okay.
However, I was told that once I retire, that Social Security will be cut 3/4. Is that true?
Probably, because your pension, as the last gentleman was talking about, is factoring in your Social Security into it. So once you start taking Social Security, then your pension will WEP, windfall elimination provision, a good bit of your Social Security down to a much more less robust Social Security calculation. And there's a reason for that, Charles. A lot of people think that this is unfair, but if you think about how Social Security was designed, Social Security is insurance to keep retired citizens out of poverty. Okay? So the way the Social Security system works is if three people make different amounts of income over their lifetime, one makes $100,000, one makes $50,000, and one makes $25,000, the Social Security is going to give the $25,000 person a lot more money in retirement for their payments into the system because they want to keep that guy out of poverty. Okay? They're going to give the $50,000 guy a little extra boost because they want to keep him out of poverty. But the guy that's making $100,000, if they just give him what the calculation was designed to do, then what will happen is he'll still get a better benefit than the other two guys, and he'll definitely be above the poverty line. But if they didn't give a boost to these guys, they would be in poverty. Now, take it to yourself. You're getting a city pension that was not paying into Social Security, and to give you a Social Security calculation with that extra boost in it would be unfair to the way the system was designed because you're not a low earner coming in asking to be kept out of poverty. You're somebody that just didn't pay into the system for a long time.
Okay, even though I may have the 40 quarters from another job that I'd worked over the years?
Yeah, you know, if I had the numbers here, I could tell you exactly how the calculations are done. It's like, I think it's like 50% of the first 25,000, and then it's like 40% of the 25%, and then it's like 10% of everything over that. And it's the calculation they use, and they just take away that 50% and that 40% that people who have a pension from a non-Social Security paying system, they take that away from them based on this elaborate calculation called the windfall elimination provision calculation, and they say, okay, this is the fair treatment. If he would have been paying into Social Security along with his pension, this is the way it would have come out, and they factor it that way.
And you can just go, Charles, and maybe this is what Bernie had done as well, is the Social Security Administration has a calculator. If you just do WEP, W-E-P, Social Security, it'll come with a calculator. And if you have all the data, like Bernie was saying, with having that statement that he gets, and you get that same statement, you plug that data in, and it'll give you an analysis of that.
Yep.
Okay. Now, one last part of the question, then I'll let you go. Should I have taken Social Security at the age of 66, or should I have waited until 70?
I couldn't answer that without having all your earnings, and I would have gone to my Social Security Maximizer, which would have looked at your pension, that it was a non-Social Security paying pension, and the calculator would do the calculation for me and say, this is the way Charles should do it. I would hate anybody who would speculate on that, as complicated as that analysis is, would be doing you an injustice.
Plus, there's a whole bunch of other factors.
There's a lot of other factors, whether you're married or single, whether you've ever been divorced, do you ever have a spouse that passed away, you know, and so forth. These are, you know, people who fool around
other
with
assets.
Social Security, you know, you've got to be careful with that in your situation especially.
Okay, can I get back to the call screener so I can get your information, because I need to come in and talk with you.
Well, that'd be great. We'd love that. I'll put you on hold, and Chris will get your information for us, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right, Charles.
All right,
hold
Charles.
On. So, Thomas, who's coming on next week? We got an interesting caller.
Yeah, there's a book.
I mean, author.
Author, Rachel Sherman, who's written a book. She will be on the line with you and Chris. And you're going to be talking Uneasy Street, The Anxieties of Affluence.
And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that.
Yep,
there's an absolute lot of truth to that. But at the same time, some of the ways she's coming across on the topic was where the interesting,
it's going to be exciting.
The interesting discussion will go in, you know, and so forth. So, anyway, we will look forward to that. And then the week after that, we're having Ronnie Pacino on, who's been with us before. He's with a local CPA firm called PB Mayers. And we're going to talk about Section 199A, which happened to do with S corporations,
business owners,
sole
right?
proprietors, real estate owners, LLCs, and how this new pass-through deduction works. You don't want to miss it. It's Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.